Hey everyone, welcome back to Rupees Over Ramen, the show where we talk about animation, creativity, the creative process, and tons of other nerdy stuff. So we got this kind of interesting setup right now, but hey, it works. I am making kind of an impromptu episode. It's been a while since we had an episode of Rupees Over Ramen. And I've done a lot of episodes about animation, about creativity, about Japanese culture, different things like that. Recently today, I had a conversation with my brother, Dallin. He has a podcast called Yo Today with Dallin Canland, and it's super awesome. He also has a Twitter at Dallin's Yield. And that's what this episode's kind of about, is about creativity in kind of this world that we live in with social media and with kind of everyone wanting this instantaneous sort of gratification, I guess. Like everyone kind of they want their needs satisfied, like right this minute, like right now. And you can kind of go all in on that game, but sometimes you can lose yourself because you're making content just for them. And this has happened with animated movies where studios kind of service the fans so much and try to give the fans all that they want that they're not even telling the story anymore. They're just kind of doing it because they know that's going to be a money grabber and they know that it's going to do well. One thing that I loved, I recently watched a documentary about Pixar. It's called The Pixar Story. It's on Disney Plus. And they talked about how with working on Pixar movies, they kind of had that huge success with Toy Story. And their next film was A Bug's Life. And they had to figure out some stuff with crowd shots. And then getting that all to work, which is super crazy. I didn't know that. Like, oh, I guess probably a lot of people didn't know that. But they had to do a lot of stuff with crowd shots, which ended up helping so much with, like, later things. Like, in Toy Story 2, when they had to make a sequel that was as good as the first one, they have, like, that opening scene where Buzz is kind of, it's like the TV show or whatever, or movie, and Buzz sees Zurg, and there's, like, all those different robots all around. And that was crowd shots. My brother kind of made a comment. He's like, yeah, like that was possible because they had that. And that didn't come from trying to please an audience. It came from something that they wanted to do. And they're like, hey, we really want to do this. Let's figure out a way to do this. So with that in mind, another thing that Pixar did was they didn't just kind of glory in their success and just be like, yeah, we're super cool. We're the best. They kept working hard. And kind of kept having like banger after banger of awesome movies. And they had like new people come and work on so they can get that fresh perspective. So taking things in kind of like in Big Hero 6, they say taking in, looking at it at a different angle. And just kind of maybe seeing things upside down or sideways, just kind of taking it, looking at a different angle to figure that out. It can be so powerful. And I'm just on my computer right here. One of the things that I've been working on a lot with my brother, we had like under 4 hours, but a pretty long conversation about Twitter because he's been getting really into Twitter and stuff. And I've done stuff with Instagram and YouTube, sharing videos and podcasts on there. But with Twitter, one of the big things, kind of one of my big takeaways with the conversation with him is you treat it as a place to share your thoughts and share who you are so that people can connect to that. It's not just to share what's going to go viral, but to share who you are, and the people who care about what you care about, they're going to find you and it's going to make all the difference. And with like telling stories and stuff, like with stories that I've been working on, I've been trying to get people more involved in those stories. So one way to do that is I created this form, and then people can go in and they can create a character within the Uptown Warriors world. So there's like elves and dwarves and shrubles, which are kind of like ents, like smartly dressed ents, like smartly dressed tree stumps, I think I put in my notes. And people can interact with that, and someone can be like, hey, I want my character to have this tragic backstory, or hey, I want my character to live in this place. And in my head, like in the story that I have, I might be like, well, that doesn't work at all with the story. And I'm like, wait, like, what if we like reworked this story and did it in this way? And it's caused the story to become so much more dynamic, like less flat, just coming from my perspective and more coming from a ton of people's perspective without having to ask them to put in tons of time. Just be like, hey, can you fill out this form and see that? And be like, oh wow, people really like this race that I created. And I didn't think that it would be so popular. And it's just kind of like, well, that's cool. And realize maybe some things that aren't gonna work and kind of build off of that and like work on that. And one of the big things, like one of the big, this podcast is gonna be tangent after tangent after tangent. And one of the big things that I think a big studio that did this really well was like Star Wars and Lucasfilm, especially with like the Clone Wars series and with that final season that came out. And then with also kind of with The Mandalorian, there were some things like they knew that a fatherly character with like kind of this child character that you can mentor would be popular. But they also go back to some of the things that people really loved about Clone Wars. And they don't just put it in there because it's convenient or because it's going to be popular. And maybe they did, but it also serves as an awesome way to build this story around this Mandalorian character. And I don't know, it's just like a really cool way of looking at things. Another thing that was huge for me when trying to build my Twitter more, and it sounds weird, like this podcast is like, James, this podcast is supposed to be about creativity and about storytelling and about tons of other nerdy stuff. And like, sometimes Twitter is just like, it's like a place where people, it's just tons of hateful comments or yeah, it's like, what, but really Twitter can be like whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And Andy J. Pizza, he has a podcast called The Creative Pep Talk. And he's huge in sharing awesome insights on Twitter and just random thoughts, like a dessert idea or something. And I think it allows us to realize that we're all so much more related. We're all human and like we're all quirky and we all have our quirks and we all, I don't know, like we're all weird in a way, you know? And I don't know, I'm going to continue to do podcasts about animated shows and stuff, but I do want to do more of these podcasts where it's just kind of talking about a topic and I don't know, building upon that and then sharing this on YouTube so you guys can see the video. You can see this cool area that I'm in right now. I'm in like my garage back home and it's been interesting. It's been an interesting change for sure. Another tangent. At a Christmas gift exchange thing, a white elephant, that's what it's called. I got this little dude. It's like Vaporeon. Is it gonna focus? Yeah. And then I gave Flareon to my brother and then a Jolteon to my cousin. And then there's an Eevee that I'm gonna give to my older cousin. Cause we grew up doing this video game channel. And I don't know, it's just like this cool thing that connects us all. And it's kind of, I don't know, I kind of see it. It's like a little Easter egg in my videos. This is something I love about animation and Disney and Pixar is Easter eggs. And you may ask the question, like, why do people do Easter eggs? Is it because of this crazy overarching like Pixar theory where everything is connected and it's like the MCU of Pixar and Disney? And I'm not super on that boat, but it's an interesting theory. One thing that the animators themselves talk about when working on this is that the purpose of putting in these Easter eggs is because animating is very tedious. It can be very boring at times, and sometimes it's just awesome to switch things up a bit, you know, like to try things a little bit differently and I don't know, like put in a little Sully carving, like in Brave, or putting the A11, I think it's A113, is like the room that their art classroom. I think that's super cool. And I would love to do stuff like that. Easter eggs are super cool. And I love them. Like when I see them, like I was watching Big Hero 6 and they have the NES controller Easter egg. They have kind of one to like Eva from Wall-E. And there's one from Wreck-It Ralph. There's like the, what is it called? The Hero's Duty guy. And I don't know, it's just like, it's just creative, you know? Like, in a world where you are asked to do a job, like, have fun with it. And some, that may sound odd because you're like, isn't animation and like working on movies, isn't that fun? Like, sometimes it is fun, but sometimes it can be very tedious. So like, have fun with it and like, change things up and put in like random things. There's one person, Mike Katsu, who, well, that's his name, like on Twitter and stuff. He worked on The Owl House as a storyboard artist. And one of the things that he did when working on that, is he would take things from like the place where he grew up, like there was like a burger joint, and he would draw that, something that looked like that, because it's something that's around him, something that's inspiring him, and put that into the story and kind of put it out in this picture and be like, okay, this is like the storyboard, and then submit that. And he didn't know if it was going to make it to the final thing, but it did. And it's cool. It can be like, that's something that I contributed to this story. Or sometimes when you draw something into like a storyboard or something, you kind of, you don't think that you can have much influence on what happens next, but it can make a huge difference on the overall story. And it can, they could see something in your storyboard and be like, dang, that is something that we need to elaborate on in this story. And that's something that I found when doing this Google form, is seeing all these ideas that people have. Like, everyone is, I don't know, I feel like everyone is really good at storytelling, and everyone has a story to tell, and everyone also has a character and a personality that can work so well in like an animated story, for instance. And I don't know, it's just really cool to see that. I'm really excited to continue to receive those. If you want to send one in, I'll have a link to that form in the podcast notes and on the YouTube video on my YouTube channel. And have fun with it. I added a section for backstory so that you can just add the longest backstory ever. I hope there's no limit to the things that you can type. And share reference images or something. If you have an OC that you want to include in the story, it would probably just be like a side character, but I don't know. There's some that sent in a character and they're becoming a pretty main character, because I'm like, their story and everything lines up really well with this character I was already designing and working on. So it's just been really cool to work on that. So yeah, anyhow, that's all that I have for today. And thank you so much again for joining the Rupees Over Ramen podcast, the show where we talk about animation, creativity, the creative process, and tons of other nerdy stuff. And we will see you guys next time. Comment if you have any ideas on like episodes that you want to see and stuff. I just kind of want to have fun with this and be free with it, you know? Anyway, see you guys next time. Peace.